Join us WrestleMania weekend for the Internet Darlings live event featuring your favorite wrestling YouTubers. The link is in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson, and also available wherever fine podcasts are, including Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud.com/Steven Larson.
Not Spotify yet.
No, I'm going to write that email today. I want to get on that. I want to be productive man today.
It's almost WrestleMania.
We're also on iTunes, where if you hit that subscribe download button and leave a rating or a ranking or whatever, a review is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it jacks us up in the rankings. Really helps us out quite a bit here on the show. We're also at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where you can contribute to the show, support the show, and in return, you get some stuff.
Yes.
Get access to thing. And we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. You cannot get my Rock and Wrestle shirt.
But you can get this Jeff Jarrett shirt.
Not at our shop.
No.
But there is a brand new shirt. It's the RIP Ulysses shirt, which is fantastic. It's Ulysses from W. Steve W. Getting his head just murdered by a baseball bat. Baseball bat not shown. Anyways, that's it. That's our plugs.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some 205. Oh, man, I actually really enjoyed 205 Live this week.
Because Austin Aries.
Man, that fucking, every time when they did the recap package for Austin Aries, that was like so far my moment of 2017.
Oh, yeah?
Austin Aries saying, it's more of a statement, fucking loading up. And that finish of his,
yeah,
when he does the turny-turny thing. And
yeah,
he,
the discus elbow.
Oh, the discus elbow is my new favorite move.
Yeah.
I wish it, what's the name? I know it has a name. I don't know what it is, though.
Yeah, they called it something last night.
Yeah, I forgot what they called it.
Me too.
I want to shout that, though. I want to find that as a finish. I restarted my career on YouTube. MF Steve here.
Oh.
I started doing more NW Anderson.
Oh.
This week he fights both Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews.
Wow.
But I changed his finishers.
Now Rainmaker?
No, I looked for the Rainmaker. I can't fucking find it. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's like an actual finisher. I think it might just be like a standard move or something.
You can set standard moves to be your finishers.
Ooh, that's rad.
I believe.
Does it then jack up the attributes of that standard move?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, can you just do like jab and then he's down for a three count?
Maybe.
Anyways, I changed it to like a powerbomb shoulder breaker type thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think, doesn't Adam Cole have something like that?
It's not a
powerbomb. His is a driver. It's a driver into a shoulder breaker, I think.
Well, it's like a suplex into a shoulder breaker. The last shot.
Yeah, the last shot.
Yeah.
And then he's got something else. I forget what it is.
He's got the destroyer he does.
No, I'm talking about my guy, N.W. Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Adam Cole's not my career guy.
Well, I don't know.
Actually, it would be kind of a cool idea.
That would be. Bring him to NXT.
Yeah. Austin Aries. He came out to start 205 Live to deliver a promo. This is when somebody has a microphone.
And they talk.
And they talk into the microphone.
But he did it as if he was interviewing himself.
Yeah.
Because not only is he an esteemed wrestling journalist, mm-hmm, he's also an in-ring expert.
Absolutely. With the greatest package.
Yes.
He is a great package. He delivered a great Austin Aries promo. Here is my thing. This was, I thought, a very entertaining episode of 205 Live.
Yeah,
I think
for the most part,
streak. But could you imagine? Could you imagine? Because even the wrestling was really good. And I got tickled over this shit here. Look. Oh, you can't see. Could you imagine if this was in front of a crowd who wasn't already exhausted from SmackDown?
I know. It's such a bummer.
It's such a drag. Like, could you imagine if this was like in a venue similar to like the Hammerstein Ballroom?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you imagine? Like, the crowd would be so fucking into this.
I know.
And I just feel like all this great talent is just going to waste in front of these people who are exhausted. I don't even blame the crowd.
No, I don't either.
They're just exhausted.
They just watched Randy Orton and AJ Styles, a pay-per-view level main event.
Yes.
Main eventing SmackDown.
Yes. Exactly.
And then a whole new show starts.
Man, oh man.
And granted, they booked it properly, having Austin Aries come out first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the perfect
wrestler
to come out to start the show.
But then by the end of 205 Live, we have this great... I actually thought that match was really good.
Yeah.
The Austin Aries versus Tony East. We'll get to that in a second. But it just, the crowd just wasn't into it because, like, this could have been... I mean, you could have put any, like, high pay-per-view quality caliber match here. You could have had Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles as your main event at 205 Live, and they would have been maybe slightly more interested than they were Aries versus Nice because they're exhausted already.
I know.
Anyways, he cuts a promo. Neville comes out. He comes to the top of the ramp, and so they have a back and forth. And, I mean, there's nothing spectacular about it, but it was good. It was solid.
I kind of worry a little bit that with Aries, since he's a face, they might kind of take a little bit of the edge off him.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want that to happen.
I know, me neither.
At least he still has the banana in his pocket.
I know, but I you're right. I hope that he doesn't play to the crowd too much.
I know.
I hope that he doesn't try to do standard baby face
he
on
does
back
the,
thing.
The arrogant face
I know.
And I want him to keep doing that.
I know, me too. Like, you don't have to run people down. Just talk about how great you are.
Yeah.
And he does that better than anybody else.
And crack wise.
Exactly.
That's all he has to do.
Yeah, and people will love it. Don't be standard baby face vanilla guy.
No.
Yeah, no, I agree with you totally.
But at the end of this, Neville said, you know, you've insulted pretty much everybody in the 205 locker room with your antics on commentary.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of wrestlers back there that want a piece of Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And Austin Aries said, all right.
He said, if anybody wants a piece of me, I'll be right here in this ring.
Yep.
And that led to that
set up to our main event.
Yeah. But before then, we had a segment with Rich Swann, Jack Gallagher, and Noam Dar. Jack Gallagher, dude, he is such a standout at this point. And I mean, these two other guys, like Noam Dar, obviously tons of charisma, and he's, anytime he talks, it's hilarious. And Rich Swann is really, really unique. But Jack Gallagher, I feel like he's got such a large amount of confidence in his own ability. Like when you see him out there, he looks more comfortable than anybody else.
Yeah, he's got a very well-defined character and he knows how to play that character perfectly.
Yeah.
So yeah, I completely understand why he's so comfortable.
There's just that almost intangible thing of somebody who's so comfortable in their, like in that situation. And I feel like him above anybody else right now, I feel like that's a Jack Gallagher thing.
Yeah.
Like he is so comfortable where he's at. And I think it's fantastic. But anyways, yeah, that set up like their little backstage segment. Noam Dar, like Rich Swann was sort of giving Noam Dar some shit about like who sent Alicia Fox the flowers.
Yeah.
Like, was it last week or two weeks ago, whatever it was. So there was some back and forth there. That led to a tag team match, Jack Gallagher and Rich Swann versus Daivari and Noam Dar. And this is a fun match.
Yeah.
This is a fun match. The faces went over.
Yeah, Rich Swann hit the Phoenix Splash for the win.
Yeah, I'm wondering if... Here's the thing. 205 Live, we have 1 hour a week to get their best. And while this was an entertaining match, I feel like any time you've got a thrown-together tag match, you might be wasting time. I understand the need to spotlight talent. Like, Daivari needs to be out there in front of people.
Yeah.
But I kind of feel like you're not really moving along any storylines if you're spending time on this. What do you feel?
Well, the only story that was directly being touched upon was the Swan Noam Dar story.
Yeah.
But I guess they put Gallagher and Daivari in there, given their history, their feud previously.
Yeah.
Which seemed over, but to kind of add extra dimension to the match.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand your point.
Yeah. I just feel like this is the one thing, because if you juxtapose this with everything else in the show, it was like everything else felt like it had a distinctly going somewhere.
And maybe they want to save the Rich Swann Noam Dar singles match later on.
Yeah.
As the story develops.
Yeah.
They don't want to do that right now.
There was like the smallest of development, like Noam Dar had a candy guy come out and give
Alicia Well, I don't Fox think he candy. Had the candy guy come out.
Yeah.
He was trying to cover.
Yeah.
Because someone else, whoever sent the flowers last week, had candy delivered to Alicia Fox.
Can't
and then Noam
this?
Dar
can't handle
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Noam Dar starts yelling at the delivery guy, "You're late.
You're late." Yeah. Yeah, so small development. Still, I think I really hope that I really hope, A, that Jack Gallagher doesn't get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
But, B, given the vibe he's giving off, I don't think he is.
I think the crowd really likes him. They were chanting for him last night.
Yeah, the crowd really likes him. And I think it feels And it's so funny because when he first debuted on Raw, I read like something, I think Meltzer Wrestling was, I forget who it was, but there was a rumor that somebody in the back, in the front office rather, or in the back was saying, said something like, man, if we wanted, you know, if we wanted a guy like this, we have the vaudevillains already, sort of saying that they weren't huge on him.
Yeah.
It's funny because if the vaudevillains were, had half the grasp on what they were doing as Jack Gallagher did, or I don't know. I don't want to put them down necessarily as performers because I think they're good at what they do, but Jack Gallagher kind of does what they do, but he does it in a much more effective way.
Oh yeah.
You know, cause it's like, it's Gentleman Jack, but I feel like, you know, he has all the feelings of an old timey wrestler. That's kind of his thing, you know?
Yeah.
He's got the stripes and he's got the mustache. He kind of has an old timey feel to him.
Well, it's not only just the kind of aesthetic aspects, but I mean, he speaks a very certain way.
He does harken back to his to gestures, a bygone era.
His gestures are very specific.
Yeah.
Everything he does is very specific.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, it feels like it's just a better version of the vaudevillains.
Yeah, the vaudevillains don't really speak. They speak in modern vernacular, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like. So
yeah, I feel like...
If they're really trying to embody the spirit of a certain era, they should embody it fully.
I feel like they've gone too literal, but also too superficial.
Yes.
Oh, man. So anyways, yeah. Then we had Brian Kendrick. He gave an interview where he talks more shit about Akira Tozawa. And then this led to my favorite fucking
thing.
This is
pretty funny.
I was so happy with this. So Brian Tozawa comes down.
This is pretty funny.
And it's not, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's,
Yeah.
Which I love. I love Akira Tozawa. I think he's fucking great. But Kendrick comes down. He says, lesson number 6. Always read the fine print.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to fight Brian Kendrick, and that's what you're going to get. But you're not going to fight the Brian Kendrick.
You're getting fight a Brian Kendrick.
So some dude,
with a Y.
Some dude comes out. Just some guy comes out.
With Brian Kendrick pants.
That's right. And he's a weird guy. Like some dude with a beard, not like in great shape or anything. He goes in there. It actually turned out to be a fairly decent wrestler.
Yeah, it was
though.
Fun.
Yeah. So Tozawa got to take on a Brian Kendrick.
It's pretty funny.
And Corey Graves said, yeah, he's bringing his A game. It was fantastic. Without Austin Aries there is kind of a form of comic relief. Corey Graves and Mauro Ranallo, they act like they fucking hate each other.
I know.
Like he said, because Mauro made a comment about he's punching him like he's got candy in him.
Oh,
which
yeah.
I thought was actually kind of clever. And then Corey Graves said, what are you talking about? Candy. That's stupid.
Yeah, I know.
And Mauro said, yeah, it's called an analogy. I think he meant a metaphor. But it's an analogy.
For a pinata.
For a pinata.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I got it.
Yeah, I got it too.
But man, like they were getting kind of rude with each other a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like they haven't really found their rhythm as a two-man
I know.
Commentary
like,
team.
I get if you're trying to be a heel, Corey Graves, but generally the heel acts heelish towards like the you know, like if he's Tom Phillips, if he's obviously your buddy, then there was great chemistry there because Tom Phillips knew how to react to it.
Yes.
If you guys, like him and Mauro don't, like, I don't know, maybe they don't understand this or maybe Corey Graves doesn't get it. They don't have chemistry. And so when they're ripping into each other, feels like they're just being dicks to each other. Yeah. Anyways, Tozawa kept on getting sort of distracted by the presence of the Brian Kendrick on the outside, trying to goad him into fighting, but he kept on forgetting about a Brian Kendrick.
A Brian Kendrick.
And so he got in a couple of shots. A Brian Kendrick got in a couple shots, but Tozawa ended up going over with his snap German suplex, which is still...
fantastic.
And that A. Brian Kendrick was hilarious because he kept on doing like weird facial. Like, he'd be like,
well, I love that he was down there getting pinned and he wipes the sweat off his face.
He's like,
yeah.
It was great. He wore his shirt because he's probably fat. Then we had the main event, which is Austin Aries versus Tony Nese. It was good, like, 11. Look, it was like a good 11 minutes.
And it's
match.
A match they set up 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Nese is really a premier athlete. He looked,
is.
Like, his body's amazing.
Yeah.
He's got that down in his gimmick.
And
very,
I know
very well.
He can do a lot more than what he's doing in the ring. Mm-hmm. Like, he could do top rope stuff.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's a really exceptional athlete.
I'd really like them to like let him do more.
And I was impressed by his in-ring banter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't the most clever
stuff.
But he was being consistent and he was really trying and it was working.
Yeah,
was
I like Tony Nese. Heel really well. I know, I like Tony Nese. But anyway, Austin Aries ended up going over with that amazing move of his. I'm sure Cannon Grant's going to Snapchat me. Cannon Grant is quickly becoming my own personal, what do they call? Remember when Stat Boy on PTI,
he was
the corrections guy at the end. What do they call that? We got some things wrong or something like that. And they would go to him. Is there the redactions?
I don't know what it is. I think it's something like that.
So like on our SmackDown Live episode, we were like, what the fuck is Chad Hawkins talking about with Dean Ambrose?
Yeah.
Apparently Dean gave him a dirty deeds last week.
Oh.
I don't fucking remember that at all. But yeah, Cannon Grant sent me. Snapchat. He's like, don't you remember Steve? He gave him a dirty deed, man. What's with your memory? Anyways, Ken.
We're old. It's not very good.
Exactly, Ken. We're not a young buck like you. Anyways, I thought it was a really good main event. But like I said, the crowd is just dead. Like I said, I can't blame them. They've been through a lot already. But just imagine this. Imagine this. Look at the UK tournament.
I know.
Like, what do you get when you have some really, really quality wrestling in front of a small, feverish crowd who's ready for and who's there for that?
I was paying attention during the open of the show when they were doing shots with the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a few empty seats.
I know.
So I don't know.
Kids have to go to bed, man.
Granted, I don't know if that was the case during SmackDown. I don't know because the shows were at the Pacers Arena.
Right.
So it's a large venue,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it sold out for SmackDown,
and
then people just left after the main event. I don't know.
I don't know. One of our friends, I forget who it was, mentioned that she was there. I forget her name, sorry. But she said she was there, and she was like, the crowd is kind of dead. Like, the live crowd even there was kind of dead.
Oh, for SmackDown?
Yeah, for SmackDown,
yeah.
Which I didn't notice one way or the other, to be honest with you. Some of that, was in and out. But I really think that it would help the show tremendously. Like if they're, I know the show doesn't do great on the network.
Yeah.
And if they're looking for like a reason, I honestly think that's like the biggest thing. I think that's like the wrestling. I think the wrestling is coming along.
Yeah. It seems like the last couple of weeks they're letting them do more.
I think they're letting him do more, but also guys like Akira Tozawa naturally bring something different. Even watered down, he brings something different.
Yeah.
And I think if they continue to bring in guys like him who just in their moveset, they automatically bring something different. Even if they're not going to let them do everything they can do, they bring different things.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to help. And I think they have been letting them do slowly a little bit more and a little bit more. Yeah.
And when we talk about NXT, I'll talk about it a bit more because during the main event on NXT, we saw TJ Perkins do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
He hasn't done since he's been on the main roster.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and totally. It was good. It was really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good stuff. So, I thought it was a solid episode of 205 Live. I think it's coming along. I just think that they've really done a disservice for them by insisting on sticking with the live aspect.
I agree, 100%.
And I think it's hurt Talking Smack too.
Yeah.
Like now we have to wait until that's done and then watch Talking Smack. And I just think it's not good.
No, it's not.
I
mean, I understand from a logistical standpoint why they would want to.
Right,
do it.
Exactly. If it's basically free money or whatever, free content.
But it doesn't benefit the show whatsoever. If they had it, I mean, even on NXT, you saw a huge difference between when they shoot the show at the NXT arena versus they shot it at the
University of
Central Florida the arena there. Huge difference in the atmosphere. Huge.
Yeah.
It's literally in the same city.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about that. We got an NXT recap.
Yeah.
So like you said, this was filmed. Talk about a little bit about the difference between a Full Sail crowd and then what we saw last night.
The crowd overall was much quieter. Literally during the Ty and Eric Young's intros, you could hear people just chattering in the crowd.
There was, dude, so...
I heard someone trying to sing the Canadian National Anthem.
Yeah, yeah.
Never would have heard
it
that.
It was as if they had...
At the NXT Arena.
They had, like, four seats mic'd up.
Yeah.
Like a couple of these people actually seemed like they were mic'd up.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. Somebody mentioned on Twitter, I was like, the sound seemed off? Like, yeah. They filmed in a different place, and I think somebody fucked up. I don't know what happened, but man... There were a couple of very, very vocal fans who it was like, it was as we were hearing, like they had a mic backstage or something, like something, something was felt off about it. So it was very bizarre. There was a couple of really weird things that happened on NXT.
But then the crowd just seemed a lot more mellow as compared to the NXT arena.
Yeah. And I don't know what the deal was.
I have no idea. It's, like, it's a larger venue.
Yeah.
Substantially, it looked like.
Yeah. Whenever they get outside of their comfort area, Full Sail Arena, it just feels off.
Apart from takeovers, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, yeah, obviously, apart from takeovers. Do you think that the takeover crew is the same as the Full Sail? Because like it's supposed to be the developmental in terms of even the
across
production.
Across the board,
Yeah. For takeover, I think they have the pros that do the pay-per-views,
I'm sure,
I think.
Yeah, whoever does the ring setup and production setup for the pay-per-views, I'm sure does NXT.
I think they do too, yeah.
They have to break down those sets, you know, overnight.
Yeah. But I think even like the TV production aspect of things,
I'm sure, yeah.
I think, yeah, they're probably. So anyways, we started off with Ty Dillinger versus Eric Young.
Which wasn't a match.
Which, yeah, didn't actually even happen.
So Eric Young comes out. Well, Ty comes out first. He shaved his beard.
Yeah, everything felt weird.
It felt like an NXT from 2 years ago in a certain respect.
It did. It totally did.
Ty comes out. Great pop. Everybody loves Ty.
Yeah.
Eric Young comes out with Sanity, and then he tells everybody in Sanity to go backstage.
To leave, yeah.
That he's going
to
take on Ty one-on-one.
Yeah.
So Eric Young makes his way to the ring, and Sanity comes back out with Roderick Strong, who looks like he just turned from the Hulk back into Bruce Banner.
And he had a weird yellow stain on his shirt. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Big Damo pee-peed on him. It was so, yeah, that's a great analogy.
Because his shirt was just all ripped up.
Yeah, exactly. It was, and it was like the most cleanly ripped up shirt.
Yeah.
Like there was nothing, like, what did they do to him exactly? Did they borrow his shirt, rip it up, and then give it back to him?
I think they took his shirt off. Damo tried to put it on, and then he realized, oh, this isn't going to fit.
Yeah.
And put it back on Roderick Strong.
And they had some like really cheesy makeup bruises.
Yeah, I know.
It was so, and the crowd, like, the crowd just seemed confused by everything that happened last night.
It was a pretty cheesy spot for NXT. So Ty, concerned for his friend, someone that has been helping him in his battle against Sanity, leaves the ring.
I'm not huge on this new Justice League of Ty Dillinger, no. Roderick Strong.
And so while he does that, the rest of Sanity goes to the ring to join Eric Young.
Yeah.
So as Ty is tending to Roderick Strong, you know, you have some refs come out, and Ty's like, you know, hey, get him some medical help.
Mm-hmm.
No Way Jose comes out.
Yeah.
Ty and No Way Jose run to the ring to take on Sanity.
Yeah.
And they really just have a brawl.
Yeah.
Sanity gets the upper hand.
No Way Jose still wearing that really bad No Way Jose shirt. He has a new vintage shirt.
And it's pretty good.
And it's really good. Why don't I wear that?
I don't know. Ty was wearing his vintage shirt.
Oh, I like it. I know. It's really cool. It's really cool. I know. Yeah, it was not a strong way to kick off NXT. Usually I'm a big mark, even though everybody says NXT's crap these days, like in terms of their weekly TV show. I dig it. I like it.
It's not crap.
A lot of people crap on it. Like I've noticed that. Like they're
it's
like,
just the last 2 weeks haven't been the strongest.
Yeah.
This week and last week.
Let's see here. So, yeah.
We're going to get Ty versus Eric Young, and either Sandy's going to be barred from ringside or it's going to be a cage match at TakeOver.
Right. So then we had some iPhone video of Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. this was so unintentionally hilarious. But then there's a part of me that thinks it should. It literally looked like home video that wasn't meant for TV.
Yeah,
because like they're roaming around the performance center, figuring out where to put their breakout star of the year, stars of the year, or whatever.
I don't know why they wouldn't just want that in the apartment they probably share.
And does this mean when a tag team wins the Dusty Rhodes Classic, they don't get to put it somewhere of their own personal? Because I thought I saw
giant trophy,
the giant tree. Yeah,
I don't know if anybody has an apartment large enough to accommodate that trophy.
Point. Maybe they you're get in NXT, you're all sharing apartments.
They get a replica.
Yeah, that could be like a smaller replica.
Yeah.
And so they were looking, and then they see Ember Moon training again. Ember Moon shouldn't be training in the performance center. She should be in like some mystical castle,
yes,
doing like Rocky IV type training.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Like in Siberia,
running up a mountain.
Right, exactly. Like, yes. Right, and then like the KGB's trying to follow you or something. I don't know. Your handlers. Remember, his handlers were trying to follow him.
Yeah,
and then he outran the car.
Yeah, and then ran up a mountain.
Exactly. That's what Ember Moon should be doing. But no, she's in the performance center in one of the rooms doing some like CrossFit shit.
Yeah.
And they start videotaping her, kind of clowning on her, and I'm starting to laugh because it's kind of funny, you know. And I shouldn't be laughing at Ember Moon training, but I am. And then she looks and sees him through the hall. She's like, which again is funny.
Yeah,
but it's not supposed to.
And
be.
Then she walks around the corner through the door. It wants to fight.
It was so stupid. It was so dumb. It just completely killed Ember Moon for me. It completely killed her for me. So that was like the start of their feud for the night, I guess.
Yeah.
Like them just clowning around an iPhone.
Yeah.
So yeah, then that led to... Okay, so that wasn't until later. Then we got a Tommy End package.
Yeah.
Which was fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was cool as shit. It showed like candles burning out and everything. And he's got like a really like... This dude can fucking talk, man.
Yes.
And he looks like a fucking actor. He looks like he's fucking badass. You didn't really see a lot of him. You saw like a long shot, but it was really, really cool.
Well, he saw his tattoos.
Oh, was that? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I looked away for a second. But he was like in a church type thing,
yeah.
I think.
It was a really well-produced package.
It was really cool, yeah. So that's neat. That's going to happen soon. He's going to be fucking huge, man. He's going to be a big star. I love it. What's his name? Aleister Black?
Yep.
Nah. Tommy Ann's a better name. Then we had Ho Ho Lun versus Cien Almas, Andrade Cien Almas. And I love Cien Almas, dude.
He's fantastic. I
fucking love him.
He's so good.
They made kind of a big deal about the when they brought in Ho Ho Lun.
Ho Ho Lun.
Ho Ho Lun.
I think.
The other guy, what was the other dude's name? I forget.
Oh. Well, Ho Ho Lun was in the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
He had a... I can't remember who he wrestled in the first round.
Okay.
But he had one match.
Why
in the
does
classic.
He wrestle with his shirt on? That kind of bugged me a little bit. That's your entrance attire.
I don't know.
Like, did the match never officially start?
Was it
did. It was all just a breakout?
No.
Because, you know, in a breakout, you wrestle in your entrance attire.
No, but I'm pretty sure the bell rang because the ref counted a pinfall.
Yeah, that's true. Andrade Cien almost won. Fucking love this guy.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I fucking love him. He did the LIJ thing at the
end.
It was great. Then we had Ember Moon versus Billy Kay. Ember Moon ended up going to, so Peyton Royce was trying to, you know, fuck with Ember Moon.
Well, there was
the match.
The commentator said that whoever, like William Regal, was paying attention to this match.
Oh,
so the,
yeah.
The chances were that whoever won would have
contender.
A good chance of yeah. facing Asuka at TakeOver.
Correct. And so Ember Moon ended up going over with her Eclipse move, which I love, but apparently it fucked up Billy Kay because then she was, I watched the sequence twice. Nigel McGuinness looked like really concerned. Like he looked back and he was like while Phillips and what's his face, Percy
Watson
were talking, Nigel McGuinness was just staring back like, oh man, she's fucked up. And so she was, you can kind of hear, and then like the crowd was milling about, like they were talking.
Well,
a little bit.
I don't think the crowd knew whether it was
real
or
fake.
Or
yeah,
shoot.
Yeah, totally.
I was unsure for a while too.
Yeah, me too. But then at a certain point, you look at her, you're like, oh my God, she looks like she's legit crying right now. Like she keeps on doing this. Like she fucked me up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And she kept holding her neck right here.
She kept holding her neck right here. So I don't know what the hell happened.
She didn't blow out a disc or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway, she ended up, she was fine enough to walk out of the ring.
Yeah.
And then we had a TJ Perkins interview, which, don't ever have him talk. Stop talking.
Yeah, it wasn't a good interview.
Don't ever talk. He said, I'm a thief. I steal moments.
Yeah, it wasn't a good interview.
It was terrible. And it you know, it just, it sort of, the match was really good.
Yeah, the match was fantastic.
So then we had the debut, even though we've seen him before, of twin Ushers, twin giant Ushers. They fucking look like Usher. And they are literally twins. They are the most twinning people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they said the Ely brothers are the first twin tag team, at least in WWE history.
Okay.
I believe that's what they said.
Okay, since Kurt Angle and his brother Angle. Remember that angle? That gimmick? He used to use his brother who looked vaguely like him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyways. These dudes are fucking massive.
Yeah.
And they're built.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, they're huge.
Yeah, they were supposed to have a match against the Revival.
And I have no idea how, like, Nigel or somebody, like, said, one dude's on the left and the other dude's on the right. Ely 1's on the right and Ely 2's on the right. And he was like, how do you fucking know which one's what? They literally look like... when they were... Seriously, they twinned so hard that when they're, like, doing... It looked like if in 2K17 you could have literally the same character come out with like a different entrance motion.
Yeah.
As a tag team.
Hold on a second.
What?
The Usos were twins. But didn't they say on NXT last night that the Ely brothers were the first twin tag team or something like that?
Are the Usos identical twins?
That I don't know.
Because they look vaguely like each other. They look like each other.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've gotten them confused before.
I think they said they were... What's identical? Is that maternal twins?
No, or identical. Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Because I think they said they
I thought maternal is... I thought it's either maternal or paternal. No, I think it's either paternal or identical. So I think identical is maternal.
Okay. Because I think they called them either paternal or fraternal.
I have no idea. They're fucking identical. Ones. They are identical.
No, I mean the Usos.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. They're probably adoptive. They probably just accidentally look like each other. But anyways, the Elys, regardless of where they place in the history of twinning tag teams,
yes,
are the most, you cannot deny, they are the most twinning tag team I have ever seen anyways.
Yeah.
My God. When they were doing like their happy to be here dance, like when they first came out, it looked like I was watching a special effect. Like they just like shot it, you know, they shot it twice with the same guy.
Yeah.
And then put them together.
Yeah.
Because motherfuck, these guys look the exact same.
Yeah, they do.
And I was like, okay, so I noticed one has a tattoo right here. I'm like, is that how you tell them apart? Because fucking hell, it was weird.
I thought one had slightly larger arms than the other.
You know, like in old school, like Next Generation, Star Trek Next Generation. Man, I just remember I got some Girl Scout cookies out there. Nice. In old school Next Generation, when like, you know, you'd have, I'm trying to, oh, when Riker found other Riker down under the service, Thomas Riker, who ended up being evil. He had a grim end in like the fanfic, not the fan fiction, in like the books.
Yeah,
man, he ended up like in a fucking dying in a Cardassian labor camp. It's fucked up, man.
Did you almost say Kardashian?
Kardashian, yeah. Well, yeah, Kardashian. Anyways, like they show up together, and they only there's only like three shots in the entire episode.
Yeah,
and it always just looks out of place when they're both on screen at the same time because of how they have to shoot it.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's what it just looked out of weird. Looked out of place. Weird.
Yeah.
My fucking brain was blown. The Ely brothers. Anyways, they made a debut. They're going to take on. Oh, that was great because it came out of a network commercial with, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the fucking Revival's theme song coming out of commercial. Yeah.
Say yeah.
But it was like, mid song, just on the yeah, I think. I don't think we got the start of their song.
We did.
Oh yeah, we did.
There's a short little instrumental passage.
All right. Anyways, I think it'd be better the way I said it. Then the Ely brothers come down before they even have a chance to get in the ring. Fucking
Authors of Pain come in and lay them out.
Occam's Razor comes down. You know, it's a great play on words.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that awesome?
Occam and Razor.
Yeah, but it's Occam's Razor.
Yeah.
Anyways, in case anybody wants to get literate out there.
Yeah.
They come down and fucking murder the Ely twins. It was great. They're like, we don't like when people twin too hard, so we're going to fucking destroy you. They're like, you're confusing Occam and Razor. And so you fucking murder them. It was awesome.
The Revival fled the ring.
Yeah. Number one, it was the Revival's... See, I'm so entertained by NXT. I don't care if it's a crap crowd. The Revival bearded guy, who I still can't tell them apart.
That is Dash Wilder.
That's Dash. Okay.
The bald guy is Scott Dawson.
I need some wild beard. Beard makes you look wilder.
Sure.
Okay. And then the other guy is Dash?
Dawson? Scott Dawson.
Scott.
Dash Wilder.
Dawson.
The Revival.
I can't do anything with the word Scott Dawson, but at least with Dash Wilder, I can do something with his name.
Okay.
Wilder's fucking look was hilarious because he looked like he was happy. He said, ooh, and then they realized that they were focusing on them.
Yeah.
And then they fucking beat feet. It was great.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The fucking Ely brothers. Are they ever... They're like the fucking Dan Matha, but of tag teams. Where's Dan Matha?
Developing.
Yeah. Then in a really awkward backstage segment, Regal...
Yeah.
Announces Ember Moon. Ember Moon's standing next to him. He's standing here. And he's like, Ember Moon, due to your victory tonight and your reckless work rate with Billy Kay tonight,
you're the new number one contender.
You are the new number one contender. And Ember Moon says,
the women's division's about to enter a new phase.
Oh, God. So awkwardly done. Like, she's better than that.
Yeah.
That's so awkwardly done.
I don't know why they don't.
Because she's standing there just awkwardly next to him. And then she goes, she smiles. She like, she's not smiling. And she does smile. She goes, the women's division is going to enter a new phase. Get it? Because I remember moon.
Yeah.
Lunar phases.
It's a play on words, I understand.
Oh, man.
I don't know why they're not giving her some mystique. There's obviously not a low-level NXT writer watching the show.
That is so obvious. I don't know, man. I don't get it. I don't know. I love her, though. I think she's great.
Yeah, she's fantastic. She's
fantastic.
I think it's more in just in terms of her packaging by creative than anything she's doing, per se.
Yeah. And I don't think... Here's my thing. I don't think it's a recipe for failure. I think that she's going to do totally fine. Oh, yeah. I think she's great. And I just think that it's like a missed opportunity.
Definitely.
To like add some drama to the entire affair.
Everything else about her.
Yeah.
There's tons of mystique. Her entrance is great.
Yeah, it's
her
it's
packaging
fantastic.
Is great.
Yeah, it's
her
great.
Moveset is great.
Yeah.
The way she carries herself in the ring is
man,
great.
So confident. It's great.
It's just...
She like stalks her opponent and shit like that.
There's
I know.
So much mystique about her in the ring, but it's just not matched at all by anything backstage.
Then you have home video of her... Just hanging out of the performance center.
Yeah, just doing some tricep curls.
Oh my God, I was cracking up, dude. I was like, this is so, it's so pedestrian. It's hilarious. Oh goodness. You know what was really cute to see though? I forgot to mention this while during the Billy Kay got injured bit. Was how legitimately concerned Peyton Royce was.
Yeah.
And like how she like at one point they were going like, okay, can you help her out? And she's like, yeah. Like, I don't know. It was just really cute.
Yeah.
It was really adorable.
It seemed
to see
very
that.
Genuine.
I know. I like to see genuine people. Anyways.
Main event time.
Oh, no. Then it was.
Oh, sorry.
We got Cassie Sono interview. Are we not going to see the shit with my guy?
That might happen later.
When can it happen,
There's
though?
Still 2 more weeks.
Okay. So next week. Yeah, I know. But next week.
We have the title match. And the week after that, it could happen.
Is next week the title match?
Yeah.
But then after the title match, he's going to have the thing that we heard about?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know why they would have that happen and not have it air.
I know, right?
Especially if the wrestler in question is already working house shows using a different gimmick.
Yeah, I have no... I don't know, man. I'm getting worried that we're not going to see that. If we get the takeover and we haven't seen it, then I'll divulge what I'm talking about for anybody out there who hasn't spoiled it.
Yeah, because as far as I know, everything they shot at... Central Florida was
right.
All up through
do
takeover.
Do you think he's gonna like interfere in that match?
No. No, why would he do that? Doesn't make any sense.
That would be great though. That'd be fantastic.
It would just come out of nowhere.
Oh man.
Anyways, let's talk about Cassius Ohno's interview.
I loved it. It was great.
Exceptionally comfortable.
Oh,
exceptionally
man.
Confident.
Well, he's been around forever.
I know.
Like you're only. It's always a joy to see an interview with him because this is the dude who is the most real guy. Like there is. I don't think there is anything that is character about him.
No.
I think literally what you get. What is Chris Hero's real name?
Chris. Spradlin or something like that.
Yo, good job, Chris Spradlin. I think anytime you see an interview with him, you are getting 130% Chris Spradlin. The only thing is his name. That's the only difference between because this dude, he is the fucking most real guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that this most fucking real guy is somebody you want to see win like the NXT title and move on.
Yeah.
Is a testament. Like that's fucking great.
I know.
That's absolutely amazing. He just said, you know, it's really surreal to be here after all this time. I remember when this was just an empty warehouse.
Yeah. Talked about taking all the lumps and the rings at the Performance Center.
Yeah. It was.
So he's won titles all over the world.
Yeah.
But never even had a chance to win the NXT title.
Yeah. So it was fantastic. I'm really looking forward to this Bobby Roode match that he's got. And then
Bobby Roode's interview was pretty funny. He was so annoyed.
Because he's got, like, number one, the setup was fantastic because then they cut to Bobby Roode for his little interview.
He's got his NXT title and a picture of himself.
He's got an 8x10 of himself.
Next to a nice vase of fresh flowers.
Yeah.
And he has some sort of panoramic painting above
that
kind of desk. And he's sitting at a desk.
Yeah, it was
and
great.
They say it's from his home in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Via satellite.
You're right, NXT. It was shot on an iPhone.
And immediately, before they even started, they cut to a shot of him before Tom Phillips asked him a question. He was so annoyed.
He just looked annoyed, yeah.
So annoyed.
What did he say again? I forgot. He said funny things, though.
Yeah.
He just was generally... Oh, he was saying that I'm the champion, and so it's up to me to craft NXT...
In my vision.
To my vision, yeah, yeah, exactly. Stuff like that. And he says, Cassius Ohno, look at him.
He looks like a hippie from the 70s or something. That's like that.
Yeah, it's like a terrible reference.
I know.
Like a terrible reference. He's such a nerd. But yeah, this will be. I'm really looking forward. I haven't read any spoilers on this match. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I know what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But I haven't read in terms of like the match quality.
Nor have I.
Yeah.
I want to be surprised.
No, I think it's gonna be good. Then we had our main event: Shinsuke Nakamura versus T.J. Perkins in NXT. But hey, all credit to T.J. Perkins. A hell of a match.
Yeah.
If he wrestled like this all the time and just never talked, put a mask on him. Don't put a mask on him.
Turn him heel.
Make him the same kind of heel as Zack Sabre Jr. is.
Yes.
Where I don't even need to hear.
Cold and calculated.
Exactly, yeah.
Because all the chain wrestling they were doing last night, he and Shinsuke, was so smooth, yeah, so fast,
yeah,
that there was a really, really good segment to kind of start the match where there was all mat wrestling, where they were, mm-hmm, trying to get the upper hand.
Yeah.
That was very good.
Yeah.
And they weren't relying on headlocks either.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then later on, Shinsuke got TJ in an armbar. TJ reversed it into an armbar of his own. Shinsuke, yeah, reversed it into another armbar, and then TJ reversed that into a leg-based submission.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
It was all really good.
Really, really good stuff.
Stuff that we haven't seen TJ do since the Cruiserweight Classic.
I'm going to book right now. I'm going to book, because I want to be positive.
Okay.
I'm going to book TJ Perkins into my good graces.
Okay, good.
Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
All right, here's what he does. He comes to the realization over a number of weeks, like his goal, he said last night.
To get the Cruiserweight title back,
right? He realizes that doing the fucking 8-bit graphic gimmick, the dabbing, all that shit isn't getting anywhere for him. He wants to take a cue from Neville, because he said, well, that's how you get to the top, be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Okay? So he comes out, he loses all that shit. He wears black trunks. That's what he does. Gets a fucking haircut because his hair is terrible. It's so ugly. I hate it. Ditches that crap music of his. Gets some other music. But before he does all that, the week before, he comes out in a 6-man tag match with the debuting on 205 Live Bollywood Boys. All right? Who they all have, like, they're all, like, all three of those guys is all just nice, too nice. I fucking hate all of it. Too nice. He comes out with them. And during the course of the match, he turns on them both, and he just fucking destroys them. And as he's destroying them, he mocks their Bollywood dancing. He mocks them, and he sort of has this arrogant fucking cocky look on his face. Then the next week, he comes out, new music, black trunks, fucking dope-ass hair, like good hair. He just shaves his head. Or he just gets like a cool mohawk or something. I don't know. I don't know what cool hair looks like. Mine is fucking ugly. And that's what it is. He stops talking. Doesn't talk anymore, and he just taunts his opponent because he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, he's a very good wrestler.
Yeah, and he just taunts him, and he's brutal, and he's a fucking asshole. And
so you kind of want him
doesn't
to be,
have a chip on his shoulder.
You want him to kind of be Shibata.
Yes, TJ Shibata. Yeah, that's what I want. Black trunks, no music. No music.
No music?
No music.
You got to have some sort of music, though.
No.
Just so I think no music is worse than like the vaudevillains music in terms of getting the crowd into anything.
Now, here's the thing, man. It's the man that makes it. If Shibata came out with no music, you would still be a massive mark for Shibata.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Shibata up, man. You got a Shibata up.
Okay.
And then TJ Perkins, I'll totally be on board. You got to lose the fucking dabbing. I fucking hate that shit. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. Like, what's your gimmick? Snapchat? You know what I mean? Like, what's your fucking gimmick, dude? Instagram? Anyways, I don't know. That's my old man rant. Asshole sometimes. Hell of a match, though.
Shinsuke, it was a great match.
Shinsuke, of course, went over.
Yeah.
He's not losing.
He was kind of selling the knee, but by the end of the match, the commentator was saying, oh, knee's 100%.
Yeah, dude, I'm trying to enjoy this Shinsuke goodbye tour, but I'm just done with it. I want him to be on
main already.
SmackDown. I'm all for him on SmackDown now.
Good.
No, I want him on Raw. No, I want him on SmackDown. I want him on Raw. Both. He's above brands.
Okay. That's a rough schedule, though.
Nobody can tell me where to go. I answer to no man.
All right, Steve, you want to answer some questions?
Yeah, let's answer some questions. Let's see here. Empire Filth official butthole inspector Lewis Roberts. What would you rather see? Tommy End and Chris Hero teaming up? Or both of them being singles guys? Singles guys? I don't like tag wrestling.
Yeah,
I hate tag wrestling.
You really don't.
Unless they were to team up to destroy the Bollywood boys. Let's see here. This is an interesting question. Fat bastard champion Alex Foster. Is NXT relying too much on indie guys that they're bringing in instead of working on pushing their own homegrown talent? I think it represents a change in strategy.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if they've had a decent amount of homegrown talent who have been successful,
mm-hmm.
that would be the strategy they would go with. But
yeah.
it seems like they have been more successful bringing in competitors who have wrestled in the indie scene for a while,
mm-hmm.
teaching them the WWE style versus teaching them how to wrestle entirely,
mm-hmm.
and then having them go to compete in NXT and then on the main roster.
I think you guys, and I know you, probably know where I stand on that. I am totally cool bringing in guys who have paid their dues all over the world.
Yep.
As opposed to when I read about, I mean, how great is it? Like you read, oh man, they just signed Kyle O'Reilly versus, oh man, they just picked up some guy who did some MMA for a while.
Yeah.
Cool. Now 3 years later, let's see where he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't care about that. Like if they end up developing their own guys in house, I think that's fantastic. Who lately have they developed in house?
Roman Reigns, he was in-house.
Yeah, Enzo and Cass, they were in-house.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. If you look at the wealth of talent that they've pulled from around the world, it's great.
Pretty much everybody that's on NXT television on a weekly basis,
mm-hmm.
as far as I know, are the Authors of Pain homegrown?
I think they're homegrown.
Okay.
Pretty sure they're homegrown. I think they have, from what I understand, I think Meltzer said they have, or did you say, I don't know, they have a pretty extensive MMA background.
Oh, yeah?
Like, they were fucking badasses.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, I don't know. But I like bringing in, but yeah, no, Authors, that's actually a real good example. I think that if they're able to bring in homegrown guys, or if they're able to bring in guys from other places and they're, you know, they bring something new to the table,
yeah.
then awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't think there is an element of, are they relying too much or too little? I don't think, I think they've got a pretty good thing going right now.
Yes.
I don't want them to bring up guys, homegrown talent, spotlight them just for the purpose of spotlighting homegrown
yes.
talent. You know, I want them to,
yes.
whoever's good, spotlight them.
Yes.
Let's see here. The genetic freak champion, Johnny Ferks. So one thing missing from 205 Live is a GM. It's true. Literally, it is missing. If you can pick three candidates, who would be your choices for the GM role for 205 Live? Johnny Ferks says his choices would be either Chavo Guerrero, Dean Malenko, or Lance Storm. Can't argue with pretty much any of those
guys.
Those
are all good choices.
I like Dean. Dean's good. But Dean, he's a little icy, if
yeah.
you will. You
what know? About Jamie Noble?
Ooh, Ferks. That'd be good. I like
or,
that a lot.
I'm trying to think who some of that's already employed by WWE.
Adam Pearce.
Yeah.
Bebe. Sorry, I do.
What about Chavo's good.
Chavo's good.
Chavo would be great. Billy Kidman.
Chavo, Billy Kidman and Chavo. let's see here. Number one jobber, Alex Ponce. Steve's favorite wrestler, TJ Perkins, fought Shinsuke yesterday. What wrestler would you want to see TJ Perkins wrestle next? Oh, he says my pick would be Bollywood Boys. See, you're on the same page. And then he turns on him. I'm turning over a new leaf. I want TJ Perkins in the company on camera.
Good.
But in my fucking role.
Yeah.
The role
only,
that I want
only
for
in
him.
Your role.
Yeah. Only in that. I'm going to be mad every time he's not.
Who is someone that TJ Perkins could wrestle that could really showcase his skills? Like the match with Shinsuke.
Alicia Ferk. I just wanted to say that. One of Occam or Razor.
Razor.
Isn't it Razier? Is it Razor?
I thought it was Razor.
I have no idea.
I think it's Akam and Razor.
The fact that I'm able to remember those names alone at all in any respect.
I know. All right, which one's Dawson and which one's Dash?
Wilder has beard.
Yes.
Which means Dash is the other guy.
Is the bald guy, yeah.
No, Dash is Wilder. Dash Wilder?
Yeah.
And Scott Dawson.
Yeah, Scott Dawson.
Dawson's the other guy.
Dawson's the bald guy.
I was seeing if you were paying attention because I said Dash is the other guy.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
So, no, I was not paying attention.
Connor Triple H Dunmore. Hey, friendos. Connor Triple H Dunmore here. My question is, if there was one superstar you could pick to have a custom belt, who would it be and what would it look like? Ooh, good question. Who do you want to have a custom belt?
Finn Balor. And, you know, when he's in the
demon persona,
he has the hat with the stuff that hangs off it. Make him a belt that has the same kind of stuff that hangs off it.
Hey, you know what? That's actually kind of I don't like that idea. But I do like the idea. What about this? Like when he's regular Fonzie Finn, he comes out with normal belt. But then when he's Demon Finn, like you said, he's got a different belt. But it's like just a jacked up version of the actual belt.
Okay.
Because he's like, he gets darker. He's like the demon guy.
Yeah.
What if it's like the same kind of belt? Like it's like still a Universal Championship.
Yeah, but more demon.
But it's like fucked up.
Yeah.
It's like fucked up a little
bit. I like
my
idea better.
No, I like my idea better. Because yours is just add some, like, you can go to Michael. Like, it was.
Is add some old belts to it.
Add some.
That's what looks like his hat has.
I know. I'm with you now on the hat.
It's not good.
I'm with you now on the hat. It's not good.
I'll be proven correct on the whole demon getup.
I think it'd be cool. Like, this would be cooler if he wasn't like, okay, if he wasn't, didn't do like demon makeup, if he just looked like regular Finn, but like fucked up somehow. Like he comes out as like a zombie.
Well, I like that at SummerSlam, he had all that stuff scrawled on
the
his
writing
legs.
On him. I thought was cool. Yeah, I thought that was really cool. Yeah, do that kind of thing. Make him look like he's weird. Not like a. Like, he just looks like he went to Michael's. He fell into a Michael's craft store.
No, it looks like he went to the state fair where they had, you know, like painting.
Yeah.
Your face painted.
He's in line with a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Ready to get, like, Spider-Man painted on their face.
Yeah.
Let's see here. La Sombra Brebrero. La Sombra Brebrero. There we go. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Situation. Balor Club has taken over WWE. Anderson's, Gallows, Styles, and Balor are running wild. Which two WWE superstars would you pair with the returning Yoshitatsu and Billy Gunn to form Balor Club Hunters? Balor Club Hunters. What a great idea.
Seth Rollins.
What a great idea. Why Seth?
Because he and Finn Balor have
history. All right.
So it would be Seth,
Yoshitatsu, and Billy Gunn.
And Billy Gunn. Well, they have to bring Road Dogg back, right?
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. I was thinking Road Dogg. Did you see the great backstage segment with AJ where he's pissed off where that great Michael Hayes picture came
from? Yeah.
That video had so much going on in it. That was amazing. Road Dogg, who evidently grew 6 inches.
I know. He's super tall.
He's so tall. Does that speak to like the wrestler of today that AJ Styles, the greatest wrestler, is so small compared to like Road Dogg, who was like the most pedestrian wrestler back in the Attitude Era?
Apparently he's like 6'3".
Apparently he's massive. And he said, Jiminy Cricket. He said, man, Jiminy Cricket is getting crazy in here.
Well, Shane's pretty tall.
Yeah, I know, but not as tall as fucking Road Dogg, apparently. Road Dogg came in and looked like the giant Gonzalez.
That's crazy.
To separate the two of them. Jiminy Cricket, oh, it's crazy in here. And then Michael Hayes, get out of here. Did you see Matthew Audette, or Ade, I forget how it's pronounced.
Yeah.
So we asked on the last episode what it would be like if Michael Hayes
had Sandy's music.
Had Sanity music and
Sanity,
vice versa.
Sandy had
and
Bad Street
fuck
USA.
Me, it works so perfectly.
It does.
Him coming out to Sanity's music was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
It was great.
And it was Sanity coming out to Bad
great.
Street was fantastic,
was
too.
Fantastic. Hats off to Matthew, man. That was fucking
great.
Yeah,
that was really good.
Hamza Halal. Do you think Oney Lorcan, again, asking Oney Lorcan questions. He'll
get on the show.
Do you think he has a bigger ceiling on SmackDown or Raw, and why?
Well, SmackDown.
I think SmackDown, right? They'll know what to do with him.
Yeah.
They'll know what to do with him. I wonder if Shinsuke being on SmackDown and Asuka being on SmackDown. Number one, I'm wondering if Asuka. Now I'm kind of thinking Asuka might debut during that Alexa Bliss bit.
Yeah.
I think that might
happen.
Chances
are pretty good, especially considering that she's working SmackDown live events.
Why do you say that now? Last time you said no.
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't think I did. No, I think I was one that brought up the possibility that it could happen.
No, somebody asked in the question thread, would anybody from NXT show up?
Well.
And he said, no. And I thought you meant including Asuka.
I wasn't thinking about Asuka. I was thinking about
Ember Moon, Liv Morgan.
Yeah, someone lower on the card.
All right.
But then after they announced it, I think we were sitting here. I was like, I wonder if they're going to have Asuka come and debut.
And I was probably just touching my butthole or something. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
It's probably like, I don't know.
I could have imagined that conversation.
you thought it was me, but you can't see, so you're talking to like my microphone.
I know. I was talking to Gypsy. I was talking to your dog.
You're like,
hey, geez. Steve, would it be interesting if Asuka debuted, won the SmackDown Women's title? Woof. I know. And she growls at me.
She's growling at you because you have food up here.
I know. Interesting you're growling at me, Steve. I'm taking that means you agree.
You're like, man, is that your stomach? Oh, man. Fuck, where was I?
I don't know. I can't read the questions.
Oh, I wonder if Asuka and Shinsuke would turn SmackDown around for me in terms of being a big moment show. Because that's what it's lacking. I feel like it's just lacking the idea that a big thing could happen there. I think Shinsuke could be a big
Maybe.
Happening there.
I feel like I
brown, brown.
I vastly prefer the consistent narrative quality of SmackDown over a 3-hour snooze fest for the most part with an occasional huge moment.
I know.
I'd rather take quality stories week in and week out rather than a random title change happening once every other month.
For sure. Absolutely.
So.
Let's see here. Speaking of which, now I'm okay saying your name, Mr. Patreon. Shinsuke belongs on SmackDown Live. Kind of the opposite question I asked for Raw. But if you could take three cruiserweights and bring them up out of their division to fight for other championships, who would they be excluding Neville?
Oh, excluding Neville? Well, yeah. Austin Aries.
Yeah.
Cedric Alexander.
Man, I honestly think Jack Gallagher can come up. I think he's so fucking with it. Like, I could see him on SmackDown. He's so tiny, though. I don't know who
he
fights.
Yeah, he is. He's pretty small.
He's pretty small. Akira Tozawa.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good, too.
Let's see here. Oh, I like this. Great question. Great question. Jack Swagger's Lisp fan club president, Terrence Thompson. Who'd win in a legitimate street fight? The Authors of Pain, Demolition, Road Warriors, Faces of Fear, or New Jack? It's hard to argue against a guy who apparently has nothing to lose, and that's New Jack. Hard to argue against that guy. He'll do anything.
Yeah.
Who are the Faces of Fear again? Faces of Fear. Wrestlers. Is that... Yeah. Barbarian Haku.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's what I thought. Well, everybody says those guys are badasses.
That's a tough question.
If the Authors of Pain... Hold on a second.
If the Authors of Pain have a really significant MMA background, that puts them high up there. Because they're trained fighters.
How do you say this dude's name? Jism?
I don't know.
Gizm? Zim? Zim. Probably Zim. It's a G-Z-I-M. Probably, I'm going to say Zim. Anyways, mixed martial arts career. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 4 wins, 2 losses. How do these go down?
What
method?
What organization?
TKO, guillotine, submission, 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 TKO with punches.
Wow.
TKO retirement. What does that mean? Oh, he lost by TKO punches, and he lost by in his first match or his last match. I don't know. I don't know how this is ordered.
What organization?
Last match. Bellator.
Oh.
And Bellator is, he only had one fight in Bellator, apparently. Something called Bama, B-A-M-M-A. He was fighting in Sarajevo, Croatia, Romania. They probably don't fuck around there, man.
Did you see, I saw some video on Facebook that in Russia, they got a medieval MMA, where people are in suits of armor with swords and shields.
Fuck, dude.
And the swords are dulled, and stabbing is not allowed. But otherwise, people are just wailing away on each other with swords. And then you're down the ground, you can ground and pound.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy.
Oh, man. How do you get, like, can you just tap the fuck out?
I guess so.
Oh, man. I did see the, it was a while ago, about a year ago. You ever see the 5-on-5 MMA?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
It's a cluster.
Because as soon as one person goes down,
everybody
that team is fucked.
Yeah, I know.
Because you have one dude double teaming people and then you triple team them.
I know.
It's fucking great.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, check out the Medieval MMA.
I'll check it out. Oh, I love it.
I don't know if it's legitimate. It's on Facebook.
Legitimate street fight. I would, I don't know, probably Authors of Pain or Haku if Haku is legitimately a badass.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, this butthole chop champion says New Jack would probably just pull out a knife and stab everybody. If that's part of the rules. Let's see here. Randy says, if you're the WWE, would you consider trying to bring Rey Mysterio back to bolster the cruiserweight division?
I don't know if he would do it.
Well, yeah, I mean, regardless of whether or not he would do it, I think he's too big of a name. I don't think, yeah, I think that they would just bring him back to be like, try to bring him back to be a big name.
Yeah.
You know? I can't answer this question, Patrick Sparks, because it involves an NXT spoiler with regards to the Drifter.
Oh, sorry.
But
can I answer?
I can answer his actual question.
Okay.
It's just the premise.
Yes.
That's based off of. Who is the next heel to get genuine heel heat due to crowd hatred in NXT? Who's like an Eva Marie type or even like a Drifter type who can get heel heat? That's not heel. That's Xbox heat, dude.
Yeah, Eva Marie is Xbox.
That's Xbox heat. Even Drifter is like Xbox heat.
I know, but he's in on it.
He's in on it, though.
So it's fine.
I feel like Patrick Clark wants to get that kind of heat. I feel like that's what he wants. I'm going to say Patrick Clark.
That's a good answer.
I think he's kind of Drifter 2.0.
That's a good answer.
Let's see here. Oh, all right. Here we go. We'll end on this one.
Okay.
All right. Vincent Palmieri. What culture has been doing a video series, 10 fascinating facts about WrestleMania, going in order. So he wants 10 fascinating facts about Steven Larson. Steve, tell us 5 fascinating facts about Larson.
Oh, wow.
And you need to tell 5 fascinating facts about Steve. And then he follows up. He says, this is easily the best question I've ever asked. Oh, Vincent.
All right. I guess we have to take turns, huh?
Yeah. One fascinating fact about you. You once almost lost an eye. Is that correct?
That's true. Yeah. The family dog when I was young bit me in the face.
Yeah.
And they had to reconstruct my left tear duct.
Okay.
Because I got a tooth through it.
Yeah.
Ugh. I still have a scar right under here underneath my eyelid.
Goodness gracious. Violence.
Every fascinating fact about you is like I think you've talked about on the show.
I'm an open book, baby.
Steve
yeah.
once lived in England.
This is true. I did. This explains my affinity for the Brits.
Yes.
Because I used to live there. And so everything British is nostalgic to me now.
Yes.
I got mad because we went there in honeymoon, me and the wife. And I got mad because they've got, I think it's called the Eye of London now.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't there when I was there. So I get there. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing in this place?
No.
So then somebody told me, this has been there for like 20 years. It's been a long time since you've been here. Larson... I'm going to take a stab at this one because I don't know if it's true or not, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
You have more shoes than your wife.
That's not correct.
Really?
Nope.
That's surprising. I would have figured you did. I think no. Lacey claims that I have more shoes than her. And I know both of our wives are confounded by our love of shoes.
Somewhat. My wife has a lot more shoes than I do.
Oh, does she? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. But isn't she a bit confounded by your
yeah because
sneaker habit?
Yeah, because you know, tip like me, I don't go out and buy expensive clothes.
Yeah, sure.
And that kind of stuff. Usually, I'm a pretty utilitarian type guy. Like, yeah. I wear shirts just because I need to wear shirts.
You need to cover up.
I don't need $100 t-shirt.
Right.
$10 one generally is pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I think in that sense, she's like, you have 2 pairs of shoes. What do you need more two pairs of shoes for? Yeah. You have 1 pair of shoes. You know, like half the week, another pair of shoes the other half the week.
Yeah.
Why do you need 4 pairs of shoes?
Yeah.
Because I like sneakers.
Like, yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't buy expensive shirts, right. But I just have a lot of them.
Yeah.
I have like 4 drawers full of t-shirts at home.
Yeah.
Guys have a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
But you, I mean, I guess the fascinating fact would be you love sneakers.
Yeah, I like shoes.
You wanted to be, here's the fascinating fact. Yes. You wanted to be a sneaker designer when you were a kid.
In junior high,
yeah.
I used to draw shoes. I used to design shoes. And they were good.
Yeah.
For late 80s, early 90s shoes.
Yeah.
They were pretty good.
Yeah.
Steve used to self-publish comic books.
I did. That's right. I sold like a shit ton of them. Like right before the channel kind of blew up a little bit.
Yeah.
I was on my last. I was like, okay, well, I need some money. So I went to my garage. And I have boxes of my graphic novel out there, and I sold like 150 of them.
That's pretty good.
And I marked them up by like. $20. You get like a little fucking sketch with it.
Yeah.
But I marked them up, marked the shit out of them.
Yeah.
Marked up. Because I used to sell them for like $10, but I was like, you know what? I'm drawing a sketch of some $20.
Yeah.
So I made a decent chunk of change at the beginning of last year.
It's good. All right, that's two each. We have three more each to do.
Fuck me. Well, let's just do one more each.
I can think of at least two more, so you got to come up with
something. Oh, shit. I got to come up with two more. Okay. Your brother once almost killed you. Isn't that correct? Didn't you once say that you guys got into a fight when you were little kids? That he almost killed you or something? Didn't he almost stab you with something?
No.
No?
No, you're thinking of somebody else.
I'm just thinking of the dog, I guess.
Yeah, it's because of my brother. I got bit by the dog.
Okay. Oh, here we go. You once were a celebrity interviewer.
That's true. My first job out of school was for an entertainment news organization.
Yeah.
And so I got to cover some red carpet premieres.
Who were some of the people that you've interviewed?
Robert Altman.
Oh man, great.
Ron Perlman.
Oh yeah, Hellboy.
Who else?
Chris Kattan.
Yeah, Chris Kattan. Got to talk to him.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Peter Falk.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that he was always really cool. Yeah, you always talk about that one. Yeah.
The first work Steve did for Machinima was not 10 for the Win. It was for a program called Game Preview.
That's correct. No, it wasn't.
Oh, it was a Halo video, right?
It was a Halo. It was the ODS, the Halo 3 ODST, the rookie.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, I don't even know my Machinima history.
Yeah. But no, that's right. We both did Game Preview and In the Game. So there was Game Preview and there was In the Game, which was longer. Like the game had already come out.
Yeah, Game Preview was before the game came out, a preview of a game. Mm-hmm. Whereas In the Game was when the game was coming out, I think.
So like when Game Preview, the way that would work is a trailer would drop for a new game. And we'd have to, because originally I just did the voice for it, but then you just handed it off to me.
Yeah, I had too much to do.
Yeah. And so it was like, which is great for me because I didn't have a job at the time. And so I had to take like a 90-second trailer. And then I had to like craft like hopefully like a 30 to 60 second show like episode,
yeah,
talking about it,
yes.
And I would try to put on like the most professional voice,
yeah.
I
that
could.
Was your radio voice.
And I remember you'd always give me notes like when I was just doing voiceover, it was like more energy, and so I'd read it louder,
yeah.
And you'd say no, not as loud, and so I'd read it less loud,
but never more energy.
I never knew what that meant.
It doesn't mean louder, it means more exuberant.
Yeah, no, and I never really could understand that.
Oh, okay. Bad direction on my part.
No, the direction was fine. I just didn't know how to do that. I was like, this is all the energy you're going to get, so okay. I can just go louder.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I'll just do one more with you.
Okay.
You are one of the original Machinima employees.
Yeah.
What were you? It was like you and Kale and a couple other stragglers.
And Matt Danovic.
Yeah.
And a couple other people, yeah.
Yeah.
In one little office.
Yeah.
That's true.
Any more fascinating facts? I'm sure there are others. This is one of those on-the-spot questions.
Yeah. I'm sure if I could think about it.
Yeah. Here's a fascinating fact about you. When we used to live in an apartment together in college,
mm-hmm.
the wall against your desk, computer desk, had like foot grease all over it.
I used to rest my feet on my computer desk. Had a little shelf on the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So I used to rest my feet on there. And I guess it made the wall greasy.
There are plenty of other fascinating facts that we don't need to be divulging on air. All right.
We spent basically our entire first year in college playing WCW versus NWO World Tour.
I know. Instead of like trying to go like score alcohol or get laid or whatever.
Oh, we were all like, well, you weren't, but Big Jim and I were both mm-hmm. legal drinking age.
Yeah, I was not.
No.
Because here's the thing. I was smarter than you guys. So like I met you when I was a junior and you were a senior.
Yes.
In the same class.
Yes.
I was there because of the brain power.
Okay.
And then I caught up to you guys when you ended up going to college. Did you do like a semester off or something?
The first semester.
It was weird. Big Jim graduated like a semester early.
Oh, from high school?
From high school.
Yeah.
But then somehow I caught up with him.
The first semester in junior college, I only took two classes.
You guys just milled about.
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
So much milling about.
I didn't know what I wanted to do.
When did you learn you wanted to do like movie stuff?
When we took, we did the film class in junior college.
Oh, really?
When I got to doing it, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. I wonder what happened to those videos. Anyways, that's it for the show now. Till next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.